couple came to us. They were missionaries, and they moved in together 6 months before they got married. And they had a normal relationship for about 6 months after they got married, and then all of a sudden, he became totally impotent. He could not have sex if he wanted to, and so when they came to us 25 years later, they had had zero sex in 25 years. Living in the same house, sleeping in the same bed. When I taught on this, they came forth. He said, "What can we do? We have that problem." And I had never seen one that long, but that was the first one I've seen that long, 25 years. I told him, I said, "Y'all are in luck today. The God we serve is a God that forgives everything." Are we glad? They both repented of their sins. Both of them are guilty. They both repented. She was all upset. She wanted a divorce because she hadn't had sex in 25 years. She's married to a man. He won't love her. He won't hold her. And when I said, "Well, at least won't you hold her and love her?" He said, "Well, why? Can't do nothing." I said, "Well, at least you could love her. You could hold her." But he wouldn't do it. I said, "Well, both of y'all are in luck today. We serve a God that's merciful." I said, "I want both of you to ask God to forgive you for your sin of what you did." And they did. I said, "Now then, I want us to stand on one of the promises in God's Word. One of the promises. Matthew 18:19, under the New Covenant. I want you to look at this wonderful, awesome promise. I also tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you." Now, to make that work, you have to get rid of the sin. And that's what so many people today don't know. So they come and try to agree on these wonderful promises God put in His Word, and He don't do nothing because we still got the sin in our life. But they had repented. I asked the Lord on that verse to restore that couple and make them normal. 3 Sundays later, 25 years, and 3 Sundays later, the man came and said, "I had to take my wife and put her on an airplane this morning. She's going to see one of our relatives." But he said, "I'm going to tell you what, Thurman, I wish I'd have met you 25 years ago." He said, "This morning I woke up for the first time in 25 years, and I could go there." So we had a normal sexual relationship this morning after 25 years. Who made sex? God did. Who can take it away from you? God can. And He will do it because of sin. And what, is He awesome in forgiving? Oh, Lord. What a merciful and mighty and awesome King that would forgive a couple. But they could have done what He said in the first place, and they could have had a normal relationship for all those years. But today, there's so many men out there that's got this problem. That's why you see, there's some magazines you can turn to, and on the back 3 or 4 pages, all they got is different kind of drugs that a man can take. It's sad. All a man's got to do is obey God. And he won't ever have to worry about it. You know? I mean, Abraham was having babies when he was 175. Is that right, Joseph? Okay, so somewhere about 140 is his last one. But that's still on up there pretty good, isn't it?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. Now then, what can God do? He can do anything you can believe Him for, as you have believed. Think about that. You know, there's a lot of men. I hear a lot of men say, "Well, you know." In fact, there was a man at seminary here a while back. He asked Brother So-and-so, and he was like Joseph. He's about 81, 82 years old. And he said, "Sir, in seminary." And of course, I've had the privilege to speak down there in the seminary 3 times, and I'm so grateful. It's Southwestern. It's been a real blessing. But this man asked the professor that was 82, he said, "Sir, how old do you have to be before you're too old to enjoy sex with your wife?" He said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Well, aren't you 82? He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, then how old do you have to be?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "You mean you and your wife still have sex?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Not as much as we did when we were young, but," he said, "oh, yeah." He said, "I still enjoy a normal sexual relationship with my wife. No problem." But do you know what? That boy will never be able to have sex when he gets that old because he thinks it's impossible when you get past 60. So what did Jesus say? As you have believed, what? If you believe you can't do nothing, that's what you're going to get from God. Especially under the new covenant. What that promise we just read in Matthew 18:19, what did He say we could do there? Did he put any limitations on you?
None.
Not any. I have used that verse, I couldn't even tell you the hundreds of times I've used that verse for the hundreds of different things I've seen people healed of. Everything known to man, almost, with that verse. But what did he say I could ask for? I just believe him, don't you? Now let's go to Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. And Jesus answering saying unto them, have faith in God. That's all you got to have, is faith in God, or the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, are you a whosoever?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, I am too. That whosoever, for that thermon, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and if Thurman shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which Thurman says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever Thurman says. Now, that is the very scripture I use for Dr. Young in Salt Lake City. When he called me that Sunday night and said he had fell out of a tree 35 foot up in the air and had crushed his lower back and it could not be fixed, he wanted me to come to Salt Lake and pray for him. And I asked him this question. I said, sir, are you in excruciating pain? He said, I am in terrible pain, Thurman. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to use Mark 11:23, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. And I did. I didn't understand why at the time I didn't even ask him to repent of sin or nothing. I just spoke this word, and I said, I guarantee in the name of Jesus you will get a supernatural healing from our King, and his name is Jesus. And it happened. He got it almost instantly. So when we went out there the next day and he picked us up at the airport, I found out right quick that he was a Mormon. He really was not what you would call a real born-again Christian. In fact, I got to speak to a lot of his Mormon friends while I was out there. And when I told them, Jesus and Lucifer were not brothers. I said, Jesus made Lucifer. He was not his brother. I said, then another thing y'all are taught when you get to a certain place in the Mormon church, that God the Father was a man first, and then he became good enough to become God the Father. I said, that's not true. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. I said, God the Father has always been a spirit. He will always be a spirit. And he will never change being a spirit. And he is always God and forever will be God. Some of them said, now wait a minute, I have a problem with that. I said, let me ask y'all a question. This man here, y'all all know him. Yes. I said, y'all all know he had a crushed back. I said, so he called me and I prayed the prayer of faith for him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings. And I said, let me ask y'all, how many years has it been since you've seen a miracle like this in the Mormon church? They ain't never seen a miracle in the Mormon church. Dr. Gary Young said, we have records for 100 years. There's not been one single miracle in the Mormon church in Salt Lake for 100 years. That sounds like some other churches I've seen. Oh, I'm telling you. Well, Dr. Young did. You know, he's become a Christian. And I'm sure lots of people that I talked to or that others have talked to that have seen his miracle have got into the Jesus movement too. Because Jesus had a reason for healing him. In fact, I was told by another man that here a while back, he had a meeting somewhere that was 2 hours and actually was talking about his products. He sells things. And they said that for the first 30 minutes, he talked about his products. And for the next hour and a half, he talked about his miracle, what Jesus did for him. And there was 1,000 people at the meeting. Well, you see? And let me tell you something else about what when I asked God to give him a supernatural... When you think about your words being important, I spoke a supernatural healing into his body. And by speaking that supernatural healing into his body, the next time, a month or two or three later, whatever it was, that Dr. Gary went to one of those hospitals and had his back checked. Of course, he's got offices all over the place himself. He's a doctor. And whenever one of them was going to check him, they took him in and done some kind of a scan or an x-ray or whatever it was. And when they did the x-ray, the doctor that done the x-ray come out and says, Gary, don't bend over. He said, what do you mean? He said, there's nothing in your back to hold your back together. There's a blank spot in there, a couple or two or three of whatever vertebrae, or whatever you call them. They're missing, and there's nothing you can see, nothing to hold the lower to the upper part. So don't bend over, you'll fall apart. In fact, Eldon has been out to Salt Lake and seen that x-ray. You know Eldon that goes to our church here?
Yeah, I know
Eldon. Yeah. He has seen that x-ray, and he said, Thurman, there's nothing in that back. So what did I ask for? A supernatural healing. What did God give us? A supernatural healing. Is your words important? Very important. But now under the new covenant, look at these promises under the new covenant. What do we have to do to make these promises work? What's the first thing you got to do? Repent of sin. You see that? What did Jenna's mother and daddy have to do? Repent of sin. And when she repented, we prayed one simple little prayer, and the king healed that little girl in a matter of weeks, couple. Now then, will he do the same thing for you? Yes. If you have a need today, whatever it is, if you will get rid of your sin, you will believe God, he will do it. Now then, if you're here and there's nothing wrong with you, I want to tell you, when you leave here today, go away from here making sure you're seeking God and putting him first. Make sure you're loving the Lord and willing to do deeds of loving kindness, because if you do deeds of loving kindness and you love God with all your heart and you put him first, you love your neighbor as yourself, and you keep yourself clean and pure and holy, and then stand on the promises of God, I guarantee you can go through life with no sickness and disease. None. What did he promise us if we obey him? How much sickness and disease? None. Now, can God lie? Not at all. He's so good. But unforgiveness, if you've got any kind of unforgiveness, you want to make sure that you forgive everybody from your heart. If you got unforgiveness, I mean, it'll kill you. It'll bring cancer on you. And, of course, since there's several women here today, I will tell you that on women, we have so many women that come to us with breast cancer. We have pinned or nailed this down to a science. When women come to us with breast cancer, if they have unforgiveness toward a female and it's not a family member, the cancer will always be in the right breast. Always.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, The Lord Will Make Thy Plagues Wonderful, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.